Jesus, we just thank you for this day. We thank you that this is the day that you have made, God. We will rejoice and be glad in it. We're going to praise you, Lord Jesus, and we just love you. Amen. Praise him. That's when the joy of the Lord comes, and that is your strength.
Come on, let's give God a shout. Come on, let's give God a shout this morning. Let's give God let's give God a chain breaking shout right now. Come on, y'all. Man, I'm so happy to be in the house of the Lord this morning. I've had a hard week, but I know that my God is able, and He will help me, and He has strengthened me, for a time is now. So thank you, God. And because of that, I will sing.
My hallelujah belongs to you.
Come on, sing that out with me.
My hallelujah belongs to you.
Even if you have to force it, sing it.
My hallelujah belongs to you.
You guys sound amazing. Come on and sing it out.
Belongs to you.
I sing this with you. Sing.
You deserve it.
Yeah.
You deserve it.
Hey.
You deserve it. You deserve it.
Let's go back to the top. Sing my hallelujah.
My hallelujah.
Everything we owe you, Lord Jesus.
My hallelujah belongs to you.
Come on and sing it out.
My hallelujah
hey,
belongs to you.
That's God, my hallelujah.
My hallelujah belongs to you.
Now break it up and sing.
You deserve it.
Come on and sing it out.
You deserve
hallelujah. Come on, you deserve all. Yes, you deserve it.
You deserve it.
Hallelujah.
You deserve it.
Come on, sing. You deserve it.
You deserve it.
Let's go into all of the glory belongs.
All of the glory belongs to you.
All of the glory and all of the honor, it belongs to you, God.
All of the glory belongs to you.
So I will lift my voice and sing, all of the glory belongs to you.
Yeah. Hallelujah. Belongs
it belongs to you. Hey, hey, it belongs to you, God.
All of the glory.
Sing the chorus out, sing, you deserve it, hallelujah.
You deserve it.
Oh, you deserve all
you
of it.
You deserve it.
No matter if I lift my hand,
you deserve it.
Even when I'm at my breaking point, you
deserve it.
God, when I'm inside of the fire,
you deserve it.
When I won't praise
you,
God. Life is too hard.
You deserve it.
Come on and sing that you deserve
it. You deserve it.
Come on, repeat after me. Sing hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Sing hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Yes, hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Oh, hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
All the glory.
All the glory.
And all the honor.
All the honor.
And all the praise.
All the praise.
Yes, God, you deserve
it. You deserve it.
You see, he just opened the gates and he just poured down. And if you didn't feel it, let's just say we're gonna sing that again, okay? Because when you sing hallelujah, when you sing hallelujah, things are broken. See, there's a river flowing right here. And if you want to get touched today, and if you want more, just come on up and we'll sing that again. Please. It's amazing. Don't miss out. Y'all ready? All ready. Hallelujah. Sing hallelujah. Sing hallelujah. Hey, sing hallelujah. Give him all the glory. Give him all the praise. Sing hallelujah.
Encounter.
Hallelujah. The Holy Spirit's here in a special way this morning. God's healing a woman in her ovaries right now in the name of Jesus. You're having pain on the left side, and God is healing you right now in the name of Jesus. God, we thank you. Sing. Hallelujah. Come on now, let's let Jesus just be exalted this morning.
I will exalt you.
We worship you, Lord.
Worship him. Jesus. Yes. Hallelujah.
There's a person with a deviated septum. If you grab your nose and you shift it, I believe it's the right side that you're having problems with. You shift your nose, you're going to feel a click, and God is straightening up your septum in the name of Jesus, supernaturally, God by His Spirit. Father, I thank you that this morning you care about every single situation and need that we're going through. Lord, it's in your presence that there's perfect joy. God, I come against the spirit of depression in the name of Jesus. God, those that are struggling with it, you foul spirit in Jesus' name, I command you to come off the children of God right now, that Father, they may feel that lifting off of heaviness, the spirit of heaviness being lifted off for the garment of praise to be put on. God, I thank you that today we have freedom. For Jesus, he whom the Son has set free is free indeed. Hallelujah. There's a person on your left side, above your belt line, about 2 inches. You're having problems, and it's deep internally. I believe it's intestinal. You're feeling the pain in that portion, and I just curse it right now in the name of Jesus, and I command healing. There's another person right here on your right-hand side, all the way down on your calf, but no, on the outer side up near the front, near the bone, there's a strain that's happened, and you've been struggling with it for so long. You love sports, but it's constantly, every time you start to run or you start to move, you start your activity, it's shooting pain. Now in the name of Jesus, I command right now that muscle to be healed by the power in the name of Jesus Christ. God, I thank you that he whom the Son has set him free, Jesus, that there's no more pain. God, we give you all the honor and all the glory, for you are a great God and you care about every situation in our life. Every situation in our life. Hallelujah. I don't understand this one, so I'll just share it with you. It's on your left ear. On the inner side of your ear, if you took a 12 o'clock reading with your finger on your ear, directly behind, down near the base of your ear, you're having something going on. I don't understand it, but God wants you to know that he loves even the simplest things that no one would even know about. He knows you and cares about that. I command healing right now into that portion of your body in Jesus' name. Father, we love you. Can you tell Jesus that you love him this morning? Can you tell Jesus that you love him this morning? Hallelujah. You are so faithful, Christ. We love you. And this morning, we can't thank you enough for being in this place. God, it amazes us that you're willing to come down here and, Lord, not just appear, God, in the essence of short appearance, but, Lord, you allow your presence and your glory to fill this house, your house. God, we thank you for being here. Lord, there are churches all over America that don't even sense what we're sensing this morning. And we're so blessed to know that your presence is here. Lord, I'd rather be a doorkeeper in the house of God. Father, I just want to be where you are. And we love you so much in Jesus' name. And everybody said, I said, everybody said, on your way back to your chair, make sure you welcome at least 5 people you do not know. Don't go sit down. Go find somebody. Come on, don't sit down. Go find somebody you don't know and shake their hand. Be friendly this morning. Be friendly this morning. Be friendly this morning. About the deviated septum. It was this young man, it clicked in, and now he can breathe perfect. Amen. Come on, shake hands with somebody. Don't be a snob.
Hi. Is your name Larry?
Praise the Lord. What a great day. Let's welcome Pastor Abina Ebo.
Good morning, His Tabernacle. Crazy excited. Upper Conference is just a few weeks away, and we want to let you know how to get involved. Team days start up July 9th, so if you want to serve at Upper Conference, even if you can only serve one afternoon, we're going to invite you out here after service July 9th. There'll be food, registrations to serve, and that's where you're going to get all the details. So, again, look at your neighbor, let them know. July 9th, right after church, if you want to serve at Upper Conference, come to our first team day. We're excited to have you. If you cannot make it, go ahead and email us at uproar@theuproar.org. We're looking forward to an amazing conference.
Ladies, coming your way. Food, friends, and fun. Hang on.
Gotta be more enthusiastic than that.
Ladies, guess what's coming your way? July 7th, food, friends, and fun at the Way Center. Again, July 7th, 6:30 p.m. If you don't have any food, come and get some food. If you've got no friends, come and get some friends. And guess what? You're gonna have fun. So July 7th, ladies' night, at the Way Center, 6:30 p.m. Be there, ladies.
We have our parks for, oh man. Three! Joy to the world.
Two, one. We have our parks.
It's okay.
Three.
Three.
Why? What is wrong with me?
Seriously, man. Why in the world be cute?
Three, two, one. Listen, this is my last time that I'm gonna say this because I am done, okay? Summer Parks Program. Listen, July 10th is when we're starting. We're gonna be holding them on Mondays and Tuesdays from 11:30 a.m. until 1 p.m. If you wanna volunteer, you wanna reach our community, listen, we want you to help us. We'll see you at the Summer Parks Program.
Amen. I don't wanna know, why am I friends with Pastor Dan? He's just so much sometimes. Good morning, His Tabernacle. How y'all doing this morning? Come on, come on. Y'all did not roll out of bed for a 9 a.m. service to serve a weak God, to serve a pathetic God. Come on. We serve a good God, so let's give him a shout of praise. Amen, amen, amen. I love being in the house of the Lord. If this is your first time here, we want to just welcome you and honor you. If you just lift up your hands, if this is your first time here. First timers, anybody? I think I see one back there. We have an entire front row of first timers. All the way from South Africa, amen. Amen. If you could just keep your hands lifted up, we have a gift for you because we love to bless and honor our guests. Also, after service on this side of the building, please join us for a coffee and muffins and scones reception. It's going to be absolutely awesome. You get to meet some of the pastoral staff, including our senior pastors. Shake hands with them, tell them how great they are, and they'll tell you how much they love you, and it's going to be a great time, all right? If you're first time here, we love you, and thank you for coming to worship with us. Live stream, we love you guys. You got to tune in every single week. It is a blessing and an honor. You are still part of our church. So through the camera, through the TV, through the laptop, we love you. Come on, give it up for our live stream family. Amen, amen. So who here is involved in Next Steps? If you're involved in Next Steps, raise your hand and give a shout. Come on, give a shout. Yeah, if you're not, you're now in the minority. So you've got to join Next Steps. Step one is called rock solid faith. That's exactly what it is. It gets your faith and it makes it rock solid, okay? So you need to be involved in rock solid faith. There are three opportunities, shout three, for you to get involved. Tuesday at 7 p.m. with the Most Holy Reverend Father, Dr. Michael Spencer. We have Wednesdays at 9 a.m. with Pastor Dan Dykes. Then we have Thursdays at 6 p.m. with Pastor Shannon Palko. Three dynamic, phenomenal teachers. You do not want to miss any of those. Now, if you have completed step one, you walked across the stage, had hands laid on you and all that, it is time for step two. Step two meets Tuesdays at 7 p.m. and is being taught by yours truly. And we are going over spiritual warfare. And I'm telling you, devils are being cast out of people's homes. It is awesome. People are being set free. So if you've been completed with step one, come and join step two. Tuesday, 7 p.m. Amen. Just to go over a few things from the video announcements. Uproar is coming up. Shout for Uproar. Come on. It's our annual youth conference. The youth of this region are being saved. So if you want to get involved with them, please email mindy@histabernacle.com. Meetings will start on July 9th. The following day, July 10th, we're starting our parks program. We love our community. Amen. So we're going to be feeding and clothing our community. So that'll be starting July 10th. For more details, email outreach@histabernacle.com. And lastly, water baptisms. My goodness, I love water baptism Sundays. That is coming up July 16th. So after that, go to the website, histabernacle.com/baptism, and get involved, get signed up, invite your friends, your family. It's going to be a phenomenal time in the Lord. Amen. Now let's invite up Pastor Ron Dispenser.
Awesome. As we enter into this time of tithes and offerings, I love to talk about finances. I won't even apologize for it. I love to be successful in my own finances. I love training up young people to be successful in their finances. Actually, this morning I had a budgeting meeting with a young man that will be set for life because we established a budget for him. But how much more should we as the family of God talk about our finances? In the Bible, Jesus talks about money more than he talks about most other subjects. Jesus talks about money more than he talked about hell. Why? Because he takes pleasure in the prosperity of his people. So I'm not going to come up here with my budgeting sense and all of my words. I just want to read to you what the Word of God says, this book, about your finances. And it says in Leviticus 27:30, all the tithe, the word tithe means simply 10%. That is what that word means. It's not something the church has established that you give 10%. The word tithe actually means 10%. So it says, bring all the tithe of the land, whether the seed of the land or the fruit of the tree, is the Lord's. It is holy to the Lord. According to Jesus, the Bible, 10% of your income belongs to the Lord. It is holy to him. And again, in Malachi 3:10, it says, bring all the tithe into the storehouse. Bring all the tithe into the storehouse. So it even tells us what to do with that 10%. So not according to me or pastor or the church, but according to Jesus, we give our tithe and we give our seed. We bring it to the storehouse and we are blessed. It says he will open up the, try me in this. You know, I've tithed since the day my parents brought me up tithing. That's all I've ever known. So I have been blessed. Everything my hand has ever touched has prospered before this church, before your tithe. So it has nothing to do with my prosperity. My prosperity is from my own giving. So your prosperity is from your own obedience to the Word of God. Are you ready to tithe and bring it to the storehouse? Stand to your feet. Let's make our supernatural declaration. I love this. This is a covenant from God with us when we obey his word. In Deuteronomy 28, simply says, repeat after me, if I obey, then I am blessed going in, and I am blessed going out. I am blessed in my storehouse. I am blessed in my basket. The blessings have chased me down. They've tripped me up because I'm a child of God. I'm blessed. Come on and bring your tithes and offerings to the Lord. If you're watching via live stream, you can click on the giving button or text to give right along with us.
Praise the Lord. Isn't God good? Amen. I'm excited about Jesus. I'm excited what he's done. I'm excited to preach. It's been 3 weeks. I've started chewing my own arms off, dear Lord. We have a video for you. Praise the Lord. Isn't it exciting? Turn to someone and say, the generous campaign. How many of you know Nick? This is Brother Nick right here. Hi, Brother Nick. How are you? Hi. How can you see Brother Nick? Pretty good? No. Brother Nick, I just want you to go. Okay, go ahead. Come on, you can go. Rhonda, be quiet, please. I love you. Take your motherly instinct and be quiet. There you go. Go ahead. Help him. Nick, this seems to be an issue here.
Yeah, there is an issue.
Do you know where you're going?
I don't.
You don't know where you're going. Did you have a goal?
No.
So why were you listening to all these people that are crazy in the front row of this church? You can take that off. Isn't it amazing how many people listen to wrong voices all the time? They're listening to everybody say, hey, go over here. Hey, go over there. They're listening to everybody from all different places and planets. And they're listening to devils. They're listening to angels. They're listening to their shoes. They're listening to the Nike commercials. They're listening to everything, trying to give them direction in their life. But today I want to explain something to you. You have been created with intelligent design. You have not and are not an accident. Can I hear an amen? Every one of you in this room was purposed by heaven. I'm not talking just to make it. I'm talking God with his greatness, God with his vastness, God with his all-powerfulness has chosen you and he designed you with great intelligence so that you would do great and mighty things for him in these last days. What's amazing is how many Christians get saved. Come on now. I was lost, but now I'm, but they're still lost. God never saved you to lose you. God never saved you so you'd be confused. God never saved you so you'd be the wandering saint. Can I hear an amen? The verse for the year is found in Proverbs chapter 11, verse 25, and it says this, the generous soul shall be made rich. Turn to someone and say, I'm going to be generous. Tell somebody else, prophesy. I'm going to be generous. Therefore, I'm going to be rich. Now, listen, now the word rich there doesn't mean rich in spirit. It literally means in wealth. It means in things. It means in capabilities. You see, God wants you blessed and not cursed. The church has taught for years that poverty is the place where you need to be so that you'll be more spiritual. Money makes you no more spiritual and no less spiritual. Can I hear an amen? Well, all money does is reveal what's inside of you already. Well, you know, money may make you evil. Oh, listen, if money makes you evil, you were evil already. If money makes you are evil already. You see, money doesn't do one thing or another. It's just a thing. What makes a difference is the heart. Can I hear an amen? So God wants you to be rich. Why? Because God wants you to be able to give to every situation that comes down the pike. God wants you to have more than enough. Turn to someone and say, God wants you to have more than enough. He who waters will also be watered himself, Proverbs says. Proverbs chapter 29, verse 18. Where there is no revelation, the people cast off restraint, but happy is he who keeps the law. You know what's amazing is without vision, the blindest person is a person who can actually see but doesn't know where they're going. And this is many of the body of Christ. This is many of the Christians that get saved. I'm talking genuine salvation experience. They get born again, and now they think their only destination is heaven. Listen, if your destination was heaven, you'd already be there. Heaven is the cherry on top. Can I hear an amen? But what God's passion is that you and I know why we're here on this planet. You see, God has an intelligent design for your life. And if we continue to listen to every other voice that comes down the pike, or even our own little mind, then we're going to consistently wander around. Did you see Nick? He made three circles. Chad Spencer, go right, go right, go right. Where is right? Because there's a way that seems right unto man that leads to death. You see, we've got to get back to the Word of God, and that is God has an intelligent design for your life. You have been so fearfully and wonderfully made. Our family's here from South Africa. Can you give them a shout this morning? The Clure family. If you could all stand, turn around, wave at everybody. That's Jade's parents and brother and family, and we just want to say we love you, thank you, welcome to America. But when we were in Africa, we went hunting, and boy, was that fun for all the animal lovers. We loved them too. The barbecue was awesome. Sorry. It just kind of came over me. I apologize. But it really was good. So here we are, we're out there, we're hunting wildebeest. So we're hunting the wildebeest. And we're out there, and these are the dumbest animals you've ever seen in your entire life. I'm not kidding you, man. In fact, they run in herds, and they run in circles. So they run here, they kick each other, gourd each other, push each other, run in circles, and then they run to the other end of the place, which is hundreds and hundreds and I think thousands of acres. Run back and forth. That's all they do. So, you know, I talked to the guide and I said, you know, they look kind of weird because if you look at them, they look like they have a beard come off the front of their nose. And I said, they look weird. He goes, yes, he said, and I can't say it in that language. And he said, yes, you know, when God was done making all the beautiful animals, he took all the leftover pieces and he made the wildebeest. And this is how so many believers think about themselves. You see, we are not an accident. You were intelligently designed by God. Man, your personality, your height, some of you want to be higher. You've even gone and stretched yourself. It didn't work, did it? Because God didn't design you to be taller. God didn't design you. Listen, he didn't design us to be wider. Can I hear an amen or oh my? I'm struggling with that right now. I had lost all that weight at the first of the year. But here we are. God gave you your personality. God gave you your smile. God gave you your baldness. Jesus, I thought it was my mother's side of the family. No, God gave you your baldness. He made you so perfect. Man, I want you to know this because so many of us think that we're the wildebeest. You are not a beast, but you're a son and daughter of the Most High God. And before he ever said, let there be, he planned you. He purposed you. He has a design, intellectual design for your life. For the steps of a righteous man are ordered of the Lord. You see, this is the power of being somebody that's purposed. So many believers don't have a vision in their life. They have no direction in their life. They're wandering as believers, and God wants to arrest you and say, listen, I didn't make you accidentally. I made you with purpose and design, and I need you to understand why you're here still on this planet. You notice when the disciples were done their destiny, they died. I love the fact that God has promised us 70, but the truth is that, listen, Jesus didn't live 70. Many people, in fact, I was talking to Brother Tiff Shuttlesworth, and he said he's seen a lot of preachers die because they go into retirement. When you retire, you surrender your destiny. There is no retirement for a believer. Can I hear an amen? Turn to someone and say, amen. God's purpose for you is never going to end until your last breath is taken inside of your body, because you've been intellectually designed and purposed to be a person that is going to impact this planet with God's word that will change and challenge a people that nobody else on this planet can reach. You are important. You are needed. And without you, God's plan will never come to fruition in fullness. Sadly enough, we have different types of the will of God. You have the universal will of God, which is God's word. God's word is yea and amen. Every jot and every tittle will be complete. Nothing will ever be gone. God's word will come to fruition. He said, I hold my word even above my name. That's the universal will of God. We know there will be an Antichrist. And as Brother Tiff had proven before, he's already here on this planet. We are in the last days, and it's proven, it's very simple to see how close we are to the second coming of Christ, or I should say, the rapture of the church, the trumpet of God that shall sound, the dead in Christ shall arise first, and those that remain shall be caught up together with them in the air. We're close to Christ's return. This is why we have got to grab this Christian mentality and throw it away. I want to remind you all over again, God never called you a Christian. That is a man-made term. God called you a son and a daughter. God called you a saint. God called you a king. God called you a priest. God said that you are an ambassador. What's an ambassador do? An ambassador goes and takes stead in another country, declaring it to be their own. In the representation of the homeland. You see, today, this is not our home. Can I hear an amen? This is not my home. I've got to occupy till I comes. But soon and very soon, we're going to see the king. But before he comes, I want to fulfill all that my call is in destiny and in vision. That's why this wandering thing that believers are doing is crazy. Just wandering around. Listening to all the voices. Go here, go there, do this, do that. We can miss. Now listen now, as I was saying, the universal will of God will never be thwarted. There will be the culmination of time and history, according to the book of Revelation, that declares there will be a white throne judgment, whose ever name is not written in the Lamb's book of life, will be cast into the lake of fire with Lucifer and the angels. That will come to fruition. There will be a new heaven and a new earth. I don't care who you are or what you want to do, if you agree with it or don't agree with it, it will come to pass. But then there's the will of God for mankind. That's God's will for your life. Because you're not accidentally created, because you are intellectually created, God said, before he said, let there be light, and there was, he already planned your life to be part of this time in this history to do great things for his name. But the amazing part is, because so many believers will never realize they're intellectually designed, they live by constant accident, they live by constant bewilderment, they wander around like a wildebeest. You see, God's will cannot be stopped with his universal word of God. But the will of God can be stopped in your life. How many people will never fulfill God's destiny for their life? How many people, because they're listening to all the other voices, because they never understand why they're here, they'll fulfill their time here on this planet. They'll take their last breath, but yet will have accomplished nothing with eternal value. It doesn't matter how much money you make here on this planet. You can't take it with you. Doesn't matter how nice a house you have and how nice a car you drive and what you have in your pocket. What matters is simply this. The only thing you can take to heaven, the only thing that matters is what you've accomplished for God on this planet. And the only thing you can take to heaven with you is somebody that you've shared the gospel with and they've gotten saved. That's all you got. So why is it that so many of us are walking around not sure where we're going? And I want you to see this diabolical plot. And I mean exactly that. It is a diabolical plot. It is a plot of Lucifer to make sure that the body of Christ is without understanding, that the body of Christ is without direction, that the body of Christ is confused. For the Lord is not the author of confusion. But many of us walk in lives of confusion because we don't know where we're going, because we don't know the vision that God has for us. We are fearfully and wonderfully made. Can I hear an amen? The Bible says, I will praise you, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are your works that your soul knows very well. I love what it says in Jeremiah chapter 1, verse 5. Before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. You see, intelligence means that there's a plan. God has a plan for you. It's time to stop wandering. It's time to stop wondering. And it's time to press into the Lord and say, I need to know where you want me to be. I need to know what you want me to do. I know, God, that you said that those in the book of Romans chapter 8 verse 14, that the Spirit of God will guide the children of God. So I know that without question, Lord, as I learn your voice, as I know your word, that God, you will direct me and I'll fulfill my destiny. Listen, I never wanted to be a preacher. I wanted to be a game warden. And because I wanted to be a game warden, I knew I needed to go to the Marines. So my senior year of high school, I didn't turn 18 until April. Around January, I started getting all my buddies around. And you know, thank the Lord, as a leader, you can get people to do stuff. And I got two other guys to join the Marines with me, which would have made me a PFC going right in. Man, I was so excited. They went in and we all were getting ready to sign. And they signed because they had already turned 18 years old. And I couldn't sign because I wasn't. And my father said, you think I'm going to send you them? He says, I was an Army. You go Army, I'll sign, but not for Marine. There's always been competition there, hasn't there? And so I did not go into the Marines. Boy, those two other guys were really ticked off. So I decided I'm going to go to Orno, which is the university in Maine, because they had a program just to be a game warden. And I tried to get up. I couldn't get in. I couldn't get accepted. And one day, to get out of school, I decided to go with our youth pastor to this Bible school so that I could just get out of school for a day. And I put my foot on that ground, and I knew beyond a shadow of a doubt, my cousin Karina was with me that same day. I put my foot on the ground, and I knew that I was to go to Bible school. I chose and tried to do everything to get out of it. Nothing else worked. I finally went, and you see, today, even though it wasn't my desire, when you surrender your will to God, God will direct your path. The vision will come to fruition. You'll start seeing your path all of a sudden start opening up, and God will show you where you want to be. You see, you'll never be happier than when you're in the will of God. I said, you'll never be happier than when you're in the will of God. And you'll never be more confused than if you keep listening to everybody around you. Just like every one of us has design. Oh, I love this verse. I got to read it. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10. For we are his workmanship. Turn to someone and say, yeah, he did good work with you. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works. See, if you're doing nothing in the kingdom of God, then you've got to ask yourself what you're doing. If the only things that will last are what are done for Jesus, but yet you're doing nothing in God's kingdom, then what are you going to have when you make it? This gets back to vision. This gets back to direction. This gets back to purpose. Our purpose has eternal value.
And if we're not doing things for Christ, then we've got to wonder what we're doing in life. Why are we wandering around? Gather all that you want. Don't you remember the parable that Jesus said? This rich man, he got so much stuff and his fields were so full. He said, what am I going to do? I don't even have enough room for all of my wealth. He said, I guess I'm going to tear these barns down and build up new ones and I'll store more wealth. Listen, he tore it down. He built new ones up. And guess what happened? He died. He could take nothing with him. Our lives are purposed. Why are you here? What is God's design for your life? Why did he give you the personality he gave you? Why did he put the smile on your face that he made for you? Why did he make your feet so big? I don't know. I have small feet. 8 1/2. Got a problem with 8 1/2? The only downplay about 8 1/2 feet is the fact that I couldn't steal my kids' shoes. But the benefit was they couldn't steal mine either. But if God wanted me to have 12s, he'd have given me 12s. Why did he give you a 9? Why do you have blonde hair? Why are your nose hairs growing faster than others? Why? I hate Elmira. Why are you here? Because until you fulfill it, you can't leave. Woo! Sorry, I just had to say that. It's been so long. Just like every individual has intelligent design, every church has intelligent design. You see, a church that doesn't have a vision is lost. Can you imagine being part of the body of Christ, being part of a church, and they don't even know where they're going? Had this man come to my church one time, and he said, well, I'm part of two churches. I said, you can't be part of two churches. He says, why can't I? Well, he's a millennial, of course. I said, you can't be part of two churches because you got to marry the vision. And he said, well, I'm not sure what to do. I said, you need to find out the vision of both churches and find out what vision you correlate with. And so this is what he did. He went to the pastor and he said, what's the vision of the church? And the pastor said, I don't know. You'll find the majority of churches in America today do not know where they're going. And if you don't know where you're going, you're lost. And if you're lost, how are you directing anybody else? And I want you to know in this house, we're not lost. We know where we're going. Right off the bat, we want you to know that my wife and I are going nowhere. This is not let's serve 10 years and choose a bigger church somewhere. I've been offered bigger churches. I've been offered a lot more money. I've been offered everything that could be offered to get me out of here. But you see, I'm not interested in listening to other voices. I've got to hear the voice of the Father. For as Jesus said, I only do what the Father has told me to do. I only go where the Father has told me to go. You see, when you get to that place in your life, you are willing to be guided by the Spirit of God, who will always bring you to a place of utopia. He'll always bring you to a place, even in the midst of a trial, you'll find that the wind will blow by you. You'll find that the smoke will not incinerate you. You'll find that you will walk out of the fire and God will have you smokeless. It's time to recognize that the steps of a righteous man are ordered and every church is ordered. This church has divine purpose. That's why we've always taught you from the beginning. You do not marry the pastor, you marry the... You don't marry the pastor, you marry the vision. Well, what's the vision? It's where we're going. What happens if the pastor dies? What happens if the pastor's stupid? You guys have got to be nice. Ushers? You got to know where you're going. If you don't know where your church is going, then how will your vision fit with the church? Your destiny is directly enthralled with the destiny of the church you go to. Well, I can go to any church I want. No, you can't. You cannot do that and fulfill God's will for your life. When you recognize the call of God on the local church, when you recognize the vision within the local church, then your vision, the vision that God has given you, the passion that God has given you, the gifts and the talents God has given you, will then meld with the body of Christ. It'll be like the hands folding where you can't unlock them. And all of a sudden, you're running as one. The Bible declares in the book of Acts chapter 2 that we're with one heart and with one accord. When we get with one heart and one accord, that means we're in the vision. We're in the direction. And that nothing can stop us. We're going to reach this region for the Lord Jesus Christ. We're going to take back what the devil has stolen. He cannot have our children. He cannot have our families. He cannot have your husband. He cannot have your wife. God loves people. And in this house, we're very purposed. Pastor Obina Ebo helps us in that spot. Very clear, distinct man. See, this church loves the presence of God. There's one thing that we will never give up here, and that's the presence of Jesus. We could cut out God in this house. I'll make sure it's a 45-minute sermon, service, and we'll double in 3 or 4 weeks. But I'll not allow the Holy Ghost to escape this house. We are going to have the move of the Spirit. We're going to have miracles, signs, and wonders. We're going to have people speak in other tongues. I am not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ. It is the power of God unto salvation. We will not surrender the supernatural, but we will press in for more. I want more of Jesus, more than I've ever had before. I've got to have more power because people need deliverance, being set free. The Word of God's got to have more anointing on it so that the lives will be transformed when the gospel is preached. We cannot play or pander or meander around in these last days. This house, we are always going to have the supernatural. I remember people, they've come to this church and someone's gone out in the spirit. And you see the fear come on their eyes. Ah! Well, let me tell you something. Not one of those people is hurt. They get up and they go, ooh, that's good. Always amazes me. The drinkers get out there. They go partying. They party so hard, they don't even know what ends up. Then they come to church, and man, they see somebody drunk in the spirit, and they go, that's weird. No, you're weird. You need drugs to help you. We got the Holy Ghost to help us. I'd rather be drunk in the spirit any day than have to pay money to drink some liquid to own my life. I want the Spirit of God to well up in my soul that when somebody's sick around me, I lay hands on them and they will recover. That if somebody's demon-possessed, we'll cast that devil out in the name of Jesus and God will make them free. You see, God has divine, intelligent design for every local church. And this house, this is one that we're never surrendering. Another one we're never surrendering is we genuinely love people. You know, we're not a perfect church. It's just because I'm here. My wife's here, it would be perfect. That's a... Trying to get brownie points for later, you know what I mean? But honestly, what I love about you, when we tell people, guests that come to this church, we don't say, hey, we got a great church. We go, man, wait till you meet the people. You are amazing people. You genuinely love people. You care about people when they're hurting. Man, when somebody's wounded, you step up. I'm so proud to be your pastor. You genuinely love people, and we honor that. That is something that will never escape this house. We'll have to pray it in if it starts to leak out, because I want an abundance of love. When someone walks in those doors, I want them to feel that God is here. Why and how? Because they'll see the love of Jesus in your eyes, in your handshake, in your care, and all of a sudden they'll know God's in this house. You see, we're never going to give up the Holy Ghost. We're never going to give up the love. And what I love about this church, too, is you are a soul-winning church. It's very rare we go a week without seeing somebody confess Jesus Christ as their personal Savior. The average church in America sees less than one soul saved an entire year. And in this house, last year we spent over $230,000, 27%, 27 or 28% of the church's budget, making sure that people hear the gospel. Let me tell you something. Put your money where your mouth is. Can I hear an amen? When you're a soul-winning church, man, it matters that you're going to go downtown and feed people. It matters that we're busting them in. It matters that we make sure that they hear. Listen now, my wife and I, we ride Harley Davidson. Hallelujah. We have a motorcycle ministry. They're even patched now. What I love about that is I think we've had 11 invitations this year to open up in prayer for these bike activities. Yesterday, my wife and I were at the Pride Ride. Hundreds of people. And my wife and I are standing out there praying in the name of Jesus. Not praying in the name of God or in the Supreme Lord, but praying in the name of Jesus. I love the name of Jesus. It sets the captives free. Amen? I love the name of Jesus. It changes a life. I prayed in the name of Jesus that God would minister to them, that God would speak to them, that God would protect them. And when we were done, they all in unison said, whether they like it or not, they just said, so be it. We're a church that sees not where you are, but where God wants to take you. We're a church that believes in healing, healing of the mind, healing of the body, healing of the soul. We want God to heal you up whole. We don't want God just to get you to heaven. We want God to make you healthy while you're right here. Can I hear an amen? I'm so excited listening to Brother Bull, man, Susan's husband, Rick Bull. He's going around his school in Andover, New York, laying hands on people, and miracle after miracle is happening there. Gracie just gave a testimony. She just prayed for somebody. Where's Gracie? Where is she? Gracie. She's teaching. Gracie. Gracie laid hands on somebody and God healed them of arthritis. I believe it's right on Facebook this last week. Listen now, God's called you to heal the sick. Turn to somebody and say, God's called you to heal the sick. You see, we're a healing church. We believe in miracles. My wife sitting here is a miracle. She had cancer last year and God took it out of her body in 7 days. At His Tabernacle, we love God, we save souls, and we develop leaders. That's what we do. Some of you maybe never have heard where we're going for the next 10 years. I want to read it to you so you're not lost yourself. His Tabernacle Family Church will become a multi-site regional gathering place where thousands of people from every culture will experience God's love, acceptance, and forgiveness through His people. Our focus is clear. Win people to Jesus in the marketplace. Every child, youth, and adult will be empowered through the practical teaching from the Word of God to become future leaders in the church, family, government, business, education, arts, and media. We will develop hundreds of connection groups that will build a sense of community. We will also reach out externally by starting ministry centers in surrounding communities. Our commitment to develop the future leaders from within is done by the growing of the education departments of the STEP program, Rock Solid Faith, and Regent Bible Institute. In order to handle our growth of people coming to Christ, our current property will become a ministry campus. I said a ministry campus that will include a seating sanctuary of 1,999. New York State, we're trying to stay under them. It'll be filled with the state-of-the-art audio and visual technology, a large parking garage, sporting fields, educational facilities. I just want you to know, in this house, the vision is not going to stumble or stall, but we are running as full fast as we can to reach as many people for Jesus before that trumpet sounds. I would not want even my worst enemy to ever go through that great tribulation period where over
Come on now. Over 3 billion people will be destroyed during that 7-year period. I'm believing that we will have the greatest harvest we have ever seen. And Jesus Christ is calling us this year, 2017, to press in like we've never pressed before. Maybe you can't see it, but I've already seen it. This building is nothing more than a school for our children that is launching next fall. This place is nothing more than a youth that's going to be filled with over 800 teenagers in this place on Thursday nights. I'm declaring in the name of Jesus that our Wednesday nights are going to be so full that we're going to have to ask God for more places to put them. Believing? You can't see it, but I can. There's a building out front in that big green area. There's a sanctuary that's going to be just absolutely gorgeous. It's going to be awesome. And this area is going to have to say, God is with them. They've watched so many churches fold. They've watched so many churches falter. They've watched so many churches say something but never fulfill it. But in this house, if God has said it, we're going to do it. And we're going to go all the way for God. Can I hear an amen? We're not. Shout, we're not lost.
We are driven. Our vision is for the next generation coming up in this church. And you are so important and so valuable in this place. As your individual vision couples with this place, the impact that we can make on this next generation is incredible. And actually, I just need to let you know the impact you are already making. Your individual vision coupled with the vision of this house has been able to make such a profound... If you look at the young people that have come up in this church, oh my goodness, my heart just burst with joy to see lives that were going one direction, going in a complete... I mean, every single one of these young people can tell you testimonies of going one direction. And because of you, because of your vision,
yes,
coupled with this vision,
yes,
they are now a changed,
yes,
life and changing the culture and the generation of this region.
Yes.
It gets better than that. It's not just in this region. We have now been invited by Mexico. When we go down there into their universe, the government of Mexico has invited our church and little old horses. You, your little old vision combined with this vision has now been invited to Mexico to speak in the universities because it's a hopeless situation down there without Jesus. And we get the privilege, an invitation from the government to come and bring the answer to the young people of Mexico. You are so important and so valuable. You are not insignificant and you are not an accident. Together we are making a profound impact. We have coming up, we have Uproar Conference. This conference does not settle. Pastor already spoke that we won't change the Holy Spirit and the presence of God. This is a conference bringing the supernatural to our young people. You watch everywhere on TV, and the supernatural is being fed to our children. The answer, according to the world, is the supernatural, but not from God, from evil. And we have got to give supernatural to these young people.
Yeah.
The awesome that they will see miracles,
yeah,
signs and wonders,
yeah,
and be marked for the kingdom,
yeah,
of,
amen,
God. So Uproar Conference has been so integral,
yes,
in the calling of the vision and giving these young people so that they aren't walking around with blindfolds on. Literally, that conference takes the blindfold off. So many that serve here, their blindfold was removed at the Uproar Conference. So every dime that you have invested has created this. I love that our ceiling gets to be this next generation's floor. Isn't it exciting to see? We are watching this next generation starting where we're at now. It took us so many years to get here, and they get the awesome privilege of starting at our ceiling,
yeah,
and launching higher and better. So I declare that this region and the generations of this region are going to get better and better,
yeah,
and better.
Yeah.
It's not going down the drain or down the tubes. We're taking them groups at a time, and it's going to be better and better and better. And then we have Rock the City this year. Rock the City, last year there were how many salvations? 198 salvations that came in. And you know, we do follow through with those. We were at senior breakfast. We were at senior breakfast, and 10 of the people that were there were from Rock the City. We are making an impact with what we are doing for this generation coming up. And then we have the ability to start a preschool this fall, and then a high school next, a middle school, up to
kindergarten to sixth
grade next year. In an area where they just closed down the last Pentecostal school, we want our young people to be able to be taught the truth, the power, the gospel of Jesus Christ. And we're going to be able to do that in this house with every single one of you, as valuable as you are, putting our contribution together to meet a goal that honestly is so menial. We could meet that $125,000 goal today if everybody just did their small portion. The impact is phenomenal. You know, it's not just words up here. It's not just a collection up here. It is the power of God changing a generation in our region and the world.
Amen. Shout it out loud with me. We are visionary people. Serving a visionary God. Exactly. That's what it's all about, is vision. When my days are collected and I look back, I can't wait to see how many souls are going to be with me in eternity. Can I hear an amen? And today, you and I, we talked about it a few weeks ago. We're doing this generous campaign. And I'm excited that your vision, coupled with this vision, is going to bring not division, but a great explosion in the Holy Ghost in these last days. I believe that this year is going to be the fastest growth of this house that we've ever seen before. And you know what we're telling the folks in Mexico? That when we get down there in October, every one of their churches can grow literally by double in one weekend. You see, God is going to help us take this region for Jesus. Can I hear an amen? The ushers are right now in the aisles. Are passing out the, be quick, gentlemen, be really quick, passing out the generous campaign. We want you to know that there's a perforation at the bottom. Maybe you're online right now and you aren't getting one of these. Go to the website, histabernacle.com. You can go right there to the generous button and you'll be able to see the entire campaign. You see, this is not something that we're doing just to do. This is about vision. When we have vision, we can accomplish anything. Can I hear an amen? There's nothing we cannot do when we do it corporately and together. And today, I'm excited that we as the body of Christ, not as individuals, but collectively, we will move together and see God's will being accomplished. We made sure this is very simple for you in the aspect of breaking it down so you don't think it's breaking the bank. Can I hear an amen? $10 for the next 10 weeks, $25 for the next 10 weeks, $50 for the next 10 weeks, $100 for the next 10 weeks, and that's above your tithe. Can I say amen? Tithe, that's my own word. I made that up. I understand that, dear. Oh, tithe. And I believe in that some of you can write a $10,000, a $50,000, $100,000. And I believe in the Lord. Actually, God showed me years ago that somebody's watching the television show every single week for the last 4 years. They're going to give a $1 million check to this house. And they're going to do that, and we're going to pay down this building, pay it off, so we can build the next one. Can I hear an amen? You see, I believe that God has a plan to reach this area for Jesus. Or else, guess what? I would not be here. And you and I are part of the vision. Amen? So I want you to look at that piece of paper right there. And I want you to ask the Holy Ghost. Don't ask your neighbor. Make sure if you're married, you're asking your spouse. That you ask them what you would have God, or God would have you, sow into this house. For this. This is mainly just for this summer and getting our school started. This is nothing. You know what's amazing is I've talked to some churches and this is their entire budget. What's exciting for me is this is just going to get us through the summer. Because we're doing so much for the Lord, we can't stop. Amen? I said amen. Watch now. Here's a nugget for you. The day you change your vision because of what you got in your pocketbook is the day you've surrendered your vision. God is the provider, and you and I get the opportunity to sow into a rich God that he'll reap back into you a phenomenal harvest. Can I hear an amen? Amen. I said amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Some of you are going to need to take this home and pray over it, but we want to make sure if the buckets are up front right now, if you'll move the buckets right across the front quickly. Thank you. If you'll put your name on the back there for us so we know who you are, we want you to make sure that you make a covenant, this between you and Jesus, that you are going to sow this amount of money for the next 10 weeks. I know that God will bless you abundantly above all you could even ask or imagine, because it's his plan to save souls. Amen. That's what this is all about, saving people from hell. And today we get the privilege of sowing into God's kingdom. Let's all stand to our feet this morning. Today, if you do not know Jesus as your personal Savior, I want to introduce to you the very best friend you're ever going to have. Today, we preach this message about vision, because without it, you're lost. But without Jesus, you're lost. If you don't know Christ, today you need Jesus. Today I want to introduce him to you. He's awesome. Turn to someone and say, God is awesome. He'll give you joy when it doesn't make sense. He'll give you peace when the winds are blowing hard. He'll give you a heart that's clean so that you can know when you see him face to face, you're going to be with him. Today, if you do not know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, you'd like him in your life, I want you to raise your hand up. Or maybe you're not right with God. You know you're in a backslidden condition. Thank you. Thank you, sir. Thank you, sir. I appreciate your hands. You can put them right back down. Anybody else this morning? Thank you, sir. Anybody else this morning? You need Jesus. You want to make your life right with God? I'm not going to wait long. 5, 4, get your hand up. 3. Thank you, ma'am. 2. Last call. And 1. Praise the Lord. I'm going to have Mindy. Is Mindy here? Who's here with that team? Pastor Chad is right here. If you raise your hand for salvation, I want you to be brave. Come on, cheer them on. I want you to come right out of your seat. Meet Pastor Chad right now. Come right now. Come. Come on, right out of your chair right now. Come out of your chair right now. Come on, give him a hand clap, man. God's changing their life. This is what this whole thing's all about. Jesus changing lives. I'm very proud of you. Very proud of you. Gentlemen, I'm very proud of you. You know, a lot of men don't have a backbone. They'd whine and complain. They'd stay in their seat. I applaud you this morning. Can you give him one more applaud this morning? Pastor Chad's going to pray with you. Take him right on over there. Everybody else, you have that in your hand. I pray that today. What's that? You can take the top part with you. The bottom part is perforated. Perforated. We want you to make sure you come and you sow this. Declare it over your life that God's going to work this in your life. If you need a little bit more time to pray about it, bring it next week and put it in the offering plate. But we're believing the Lord that God is going to do this. Listen, I know he can do it right now. I've watched over $100,000 raised in a church right now. Actually, half this size, I watched it one other time in this house. $100,000 to buy the land you're sitting on right now was raised in one service. And there were no pledge cards. Everyone just got in their wallet. I know that God is able to do abundantly above. So today, as you sow, make sure you sow with understanding. And when you put your commitment in there, make this declaration. God, you are the provider of the seed to the sower. I thank you that I can even give more than what I'm believing for. Amen? I said amen? Amen. Are you ready to give? Do you all fill those out? Praise the Lord. If you're ready to give, come right out of your chair. Put it right in the bucket. Make your declaration. We want to remind everybody there's a guest reception on the other side of this wall. If you're a new person here today, we'd love to meet you. And the prayer team's at the front of the altar. They want to pray with you. We love you. Serve God with all of your heart. And make sure you are people of vision. Amen? Love you. Have a great day.